I'm a huge planner. So whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs. And use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
All day long, your body is saying, fire alarm, fire alarm, fight or flight, run. And I was like, Like I was sitting with him and my back felt like it was on fire. I was like, see, it's crazy. It's happening right now. It's feel it. I think it's really hot. He was like, no, your chemicals are so messed up that your body doesn't know where you're supposed to be. Your adrenals are on fire.
Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose, the number one health podcast in the world. Thanks to each and every single one of you who come back every week to listen, learn, and grow. And I am so excited to be talking to you today. I can't believe it. My new book, 8 Rules of Love, is out and I cannot wait to share it with you. I am so, so excited for you to read this book, for you to listen to this book. I read the audiobook. If you haven't got it already, make sure you go to 8rulesoflove.com. It's dedicated to anyone who's trying to find, keep, or let go of love. So if you've got friends that are dating, broken up, or struggling with love, make sure you grab this book. And I'd love to invite you to come and see me for my global tour, Love Rules. Go to jshettytour.com to learn more information about tickets, VIP experiences, and more. I can't wait to see you this year. Now, you know that I love sitting down with people from different backgrounds, different walks of life, who are adding meaning, impact, and purpose into the world, that have an incredible presence and use it to do so much good in the world. And today's guest is someone who has been so kind to me, so gracious to me, online and offline. And our first interaction was actually this January when I announced me being the Chief Purpose Officer at Calm. And we did a series of lives. And when this guest today said yes, I was over the moon because I love her energy. I followed her for a long, long time, admire her work. And for her to say yes was a dream come true. So today's guest is none other than Meghan Trainor. And Meghan first made history in 2014 with her Diamond Certified hit single, All About That Bass. Since then, the award-winning singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist has garnered a Grammy for Best New Artist, achieved 8 multi-platinum singles and 2 platinum albums, sold out 3 world tours, penned multi-platinum hits for peers across pop and country, and received countless industry awards and nominations. Now, on top of all of that, last fall, we got to watch Megan as the host of Top Chef Family Style on Peacock and as a judge on Clash of the Cover Bands on E! In September of 2021, she also launched her podcast, Working On It, which she hosts alongside her brother, Ryan. Megan has recently released her new single, Bad For Me, which, by the way, my producer has been singing and listening to all week, featuring Teddy Swims, along with the announcement of her fourth full-length album, Taking It Back, arriving October 21st, 2022. Mark the date. Welcome, Megan Trainor. Megan, thank you for being here.
You're amazing.
No, you're amazing. You did all of that.
You I can't believe it. You
had to live it. You had to create it. You had to write it. I mean, it's incredible.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I sound so cool.
You are.
When you say it, yeah.
Even just your energy walking in today, and I saw you come out the car, and just your presence, your energy, everything that you said, I was just like, this is my kind of human. Like, this is the kind of person that I want to be around.
You'll adopt me. Okay, yay. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, honestly.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored. You're like Oprah. You're amazing. What you do for everyone in the world. And I'm honored, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. So thank you. Thanks for letting me be here.
I'm humbled and touched by that. I actually got to say that to Oprah. Because I grew up watching her. And so for me, when I finally got to interview her, her book was coming out. We got to do the first interview. It was very exciting for me. And I said to her afterwards, I said, hey, Oprah, like, you know, I think I do what I do because I grew up watching you and you showed me that you can make meaningful stuff really powerful and it can be really mainstream. It doesn't have to be in this little box over here. And what she said to me was really special. She said that Maya Angelou said to her that her best work will not be the impact she makes, but the impact that the people she impacts make. And I just thought that, so anyway, I appreciate, but I'm passing it on to Oprah.
Thank you so much.
But I want to dive into so many things with you today because you're just such a interesting, fascinating person.
Okay.
But the first thing I want to ask you is, you have a secret door in your home.
I do.
I want to know all about it.
Because, how did you know that?
Because to me, yeah, of course. Because to me, secret doors, like, that's the kind, when you just showed me your garden too, and I'm not going to give anything away, but those are the kind of homes I get fascinated about because they're the kind of homes you dreamed of as a kid.
Yeah, literally.
So tell me about the secret
I'm
door.
I'm creating my dream house for when I was a child. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now for my future four children. I have one now, but he can barely walk, so we'll get there. But I have a secret door in my house. And the house I bought is really cool. Not a lot of houses in LA have attics and basement, and I have both in this house. And my husband, we did so much construction, and he was like, the only thing I want, I'm like, yes, what would you like, babe? And he's like, a secret door so it looks like a bookshelf. And I was like, done. Absolutely, we're doing that. And it's the best part of our tour when we give tours of our house. Everyone's like, what? And I'm like, yeah.
Where does it lead to?
An attic that I'm turning into like the best kids playground ever that I want to do like homeschooling eventually in. So yeah, we got like slides up there and
that's incredible. I'm inviting myself over just right now.
Already. It's so fun, man. Yeah, my house is going to be sick one day when it's done.
I love it. I'm very excited. I went to home when I first moved to LA. I think I was living here already. And it's the coolest house I've ever been to. His name's Frank Luntz. And he's a speech writer for most of the presidents of the United States. And that's his career, to write speeches, teach people communication. And we spoke at a conference together in Singapore, and his presentation was amazing, and somehow he liked mine, and so we became friends over it at the end, and we got connected, and he lives in LA too, and he was like, all right, when you're back, come over to my house. I was like, great. He's in his like mid-50s or something, and so I went over for dinner at his house, and his house is like a museum. Like, he has the first shirt that Nelson Mandela wore to the United States, and he has like all of these incredible documents, like the invite that JFK received before the assassination. Like, he has just like these really amazing things. And we went into this room, and it had this, it wasn't the Titanic, it was another famous boat, like a structure of it. And there was a little Winston Churchill in the corner, and he asked me to stroke Winston Churchill's head. And that's when things got really weird. And then I looked at my phone, I had no data, I had no signal. I was really scared. And so I saw the little Winston Churchill, and he goes, yeah, stroke his head three times. And I was like, this is getting really weird. But okay, I stroked Winston Churchill's head three times, and this trap door opened. And it was so cool.
Sick.
And I'll say the rest of it later. But anyway, my point being, I love trap doors. You also have not trap doors. I love secret doors.
I love dungeons. Okay.
Yeah, I love dungeons. Yeah, I'm from London.
Sick.
The dungeon, yeah. Dungeons are a big thing in London. The London Dungeons is a great attraction for anyone who's wondering. But you also have two toilets.
I have two toilets.
Can you explain that too?
Wow, you really got to come over to my house. You got to see all this.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated by aesthetic and
my weird stuff.
Placement.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so in our bedroom upstairs, there's one bathroom and the other bedrooms are farther away. And my husband and I get up all night long with the baby. We used to. Now he sleeps. He's great. But we used to get up all night long. And every time I had to pee, Daryl would have to pee at the same time. And I'd be like, get up. It's my turn. And I remember in this new house, we literally like built rooms from scratch. And they had a bidet next to the bathroom. And I was like, we'll never use that. But there was an extra hole. And then I saw the dream. And I was like, I have an extra toilet. And I was to the plumber, I was like, can you pop both of these next to each other? And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, just right there, right next to each other. And he like laughed and thought I was joking. I was like, get it done. And he did. And it was the best decision ever.
I love
like,
it.
Like if you're really close with your husband, like my, like we're tight. We're close to the most.
Yeah.
We like pee together and it's the best bonding time ever.
I love it.
Like, I don't know. We're not nasty with it, but like it's, it blew up and the whole world is like, ew. And I have a couple friends that are, they're older than Daryl and I are. We're young. We got lucky. We met each other at like 22. But they're like, you pee in the same room as your husband? I'm like, oh, he'll chill with me if I'm going number two. Like we hang out, you know, like we don't do it at the same time. No, but yeah.
I love
We're
it.
We're close.
Well, thank you. We wanted to start
You're
there.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So now everything goes deep.
There's my bathroom. Yeah.
But no, I love it. Thank you. And thank you for letting us into your home. I've been loving following you on TikTok for that reason. It's just, it's so nice getting to know someone and then meeting someone in person and going, oh, you're even more wonderful in person is a great feeling. So, I want to go through parts of your journey that I thought would be interesting to us and you and just everything you talk about when it comes to mental health and you talk about like toxic relationships. And I just love your openness and vulnerability in a way that I know my community and audience really needs that insight. But I want to go all the way back to Nantucket, which is where you grew up.
Woof,
right? And
and
like, you know, the feedback that I always hear about is like, it's the cutest town or, you know,
cute.
It's like, tell me about what it was like growing up there for you and, you know, what you dreamed of at that time.
The world was so small. Everything was so small. The buildings are small. So when we would go off island, which was like travel anywhere else, we're like, oh, you going off island? Like the buildings were huge and there's like traffic lights. We're used to stop signs. So everywhere else felt huge. And I still get scared when I go to New York. I'm like, whoa, these buildings are way too tall. And like when we park in a parking garage, I have full panic because I'm like, well, we're going to be late. We have to find a parking spot and get a ticket. It's a whole thing. But Nantucket was great. And growing up there, though, there's no mall. There's no place for kids to hang out. So you start drinking and doing drugs at like 14.
Wow.
And like hooking up at a very young age. And like when I look back at stuff that we did, I'm like, how was I not murdered or kidnapped or like, how am I not a full blown drug addict? A lot of my friends are. Wow. And even my brother had problems with alcohol and drugs, but he managed it so well that we were like, you don't have a problem. You're just fun, you know? Yeah. And then recently he was like, okay, I need to be sober.
Wow.
So it's like if you made it off that rock, like you won, like you survived. So it was a crazy place to live.
It's so different when I grew up in London, which is obviously this big city and you're always around big buildings. And then I moved to New York and I've lived in Mumbai and now I live in LA. So I've always been moving from big city to big city.
You got that tough, like you can handle it.
Well, you can handle the city, but there's also, it takes a lot more effort to feel grounded or to be in nature or, you know, that took a lot of training.
Oh, wow.
Took a lot of training for me to adapt to that. And I also find that, you know, when you're talking about, I went to Montana recently and that's where, when I was speaking to a lot of the people that lived in the area and a lot of the kids there were saying they'd never left.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they all went to the same salon on a Saturday evening and that one of them went to NYU for the summer, but then she moved back and she'd like, she'd never seen a Chipotle before she'd moved out of town
same.
And all that kind of stuff. And it's always interesting to me because we grow up in such bubbles where you think everyone thinks like you and everyone's living like you. When was the first time that bubble kind of was burst or changed or switched? What was the experience where you're like, oh wow, there's a whole world and people who think differently? And
I mean, when my parents started bringing me to songwriting conventions, like songwriting competitions, and I would travel, like my brothers got a gift. Well, it'd be a whole family thing. I have two brothers. So for Christmas one year, they're like, we're going to go to California and have Megan go to this songwriting thing with ASCAP. And the boys would get to go to the zoo, you know? So it'd always be a family thing, but they would make sure the boys got to do something fun too. But I remember like traveling with my family and seeing Hollywood, and I was like, ew. But like, oh, it's a little different than the movies. But then I lived in Nashville for a year by myself, and that was my college. I was 19 and I was like a songwriter. I would drive to work at noon and I'd write a song and I'd come home by myself. And I did that for a year and then wrote All About That Bass and got signed and like had to move to LA at 19. So a lot of my friends were like in college and went home for the summer. And I was like, I felt like I missed a lot of learning steps and relationships. Like I feel like there's a whole friend group out there that I would have had that I don't know them, you know, because I just went to work. But I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, we did it.
That's...
But there's definitely differences that I'm frustrated with. Like, I don't know how to do taxes. I don't know how to do many things because at 19, all of a sudden there was a team that did it for me.
Yeah.
And so when, like, I don't know, there's simple tasks that I'm like, I can't imagine doing that I feel... I'm working with my therapist on it. I feel stupid sometimes. I feel silly and she's like, you're not stupid. Like, look around. And I'm like, yeah, but there's simple things I can't figure out. Geography. I don't know where anything is. I don't know where I am in the world.
Well, Megan, I want to share something with you. I promise you that most people who went to college don't know how to do their taxes.
Okay, good.
Because I I'll be honest with you, me included. And I went to Cass Business School. Like, I don't know how to do my own taxes.
Okay,
because,
good.
Because, and the reason I say that is because you're just never trained in the simple things.
Yeah,
like it's sad, but no one knows how to get a mortgage or how to get their taxes. Like, you don't know these until you have to do it.
Yeah.
And then when you have to do it, you figure it out. Like for me, I had to learn a whole new system when I moved to the US. So just about when I figured, so I moved to the US when I was 28. And so
I'm 28.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah. You moved to LA when you were 19, so
yeah.
Bit of a different experience, but yeah, no, I moved to the US 6 years ago when I was 28,
okay.
And it was like I just figured out how to do taxes in London, and then I moved and had to figure it all out again. And so, I don't think you should be so hard on yourself because I'd be honest with you and say I don't think most people know how to do the things you just mentioned.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I thought everyone knew.
But when you look at that experience, when you talk about going to songwriting competitions, it's really interesting because competition often turns people off art, and it can often be a challenge where it's like you're competing at something and then often you lose taste for it. I remember I swam a lot when I was in college and high school, and I was a pretty good swimmer, and my parents really wanted me to be a competitive swimmer, and I hated the competitive side of swimming. Yeah. I love competition in other areas of my life. I just didn't enjoy it in the water. For you, what was that experience like? Because that was even younger than 19, right? You're going to these competitions with
17.
Other kids. Yeah, with other kids.
But it wasn't even kids. It was adults.
Oh, wow.
Like, it ranged from my age, 17, to like 55, where they're like, I still want to be a songwriter and here's my chance. And I would like always write on my CDs before we played it. I'd be like, I produced it myself. Like, be easy on the production. And I was like, I'm just a young girl. I don't know what I'm doing here. And they would critique your songs in front of everyone. So it wasn't like we were competing at these places.
It's like America's Got Talent, kind of, but for songwriting.
Yeah, but for songwriting. And if you won, you got signed. And my second year, I did it. And I was like, Dad, I don't want to go back. And he's like, your album's way better now. Let's go back. The second year, I got signed. And everyone's like, Megan's the one that got picked this year. And I was like, I did it.
That's amazing. But, do you remember any feedback from the first year that like stayed with you?
Oh, killed
me.
Yeah. My lyrics didn't make sense because they didn't. My production was bad. But they saw potential. They're like, it's in there. You just got to be better at, like, maybe you shouldn't have said that here, or this doesn't really rhyme and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, they don't know anything. I'm like, Dad, they suck. But then I went home and I wrote a whole new album and sent it in. And then it was like night and day. And they're like, wow, you took our notes and you came back. So it was... great and everyone should do it. And it sucked and it was great. But and my parents would make fun of me because I'd be like, I don't want to go. And they would drag me. And then when I'd be like, when I'd go, I'd be like, that was the best thing ever. I rock. And they're like, see?
How do people get that courage though? Because I feel that...
Supportive parents.
That was it?
That was it.
Really?
My parents believed in me so much and I was bad. Like I wasn't horrific, but I was bad. Like I hear the songs now and I'm like, what were you guys thinking? And my mom, like nowadays, she's like, she's still trying to get those 15-year-old songs cut. Like they're, sorry, not cut. A lot of people don't know what that means. When I say like get a song cut, I mean another artist sing it. So she's still trying to like sell those songs. And I'm like, Mom, they're embarrassing. Like there's sometimes those songs will get pitched and they'll get cut. And she's like, I knew it. Like I knew you were good back then. And I'm like, wow, you really believed in me.
Wow.
And my parents are those parents that are like, everyone should go to college. And for me, they were like, go to work. Like go be a songwriter. This is what you're good at. You're going to do this forever.
What? How do you think they noticed that? Like what was it in you? Because obviously, and that's wonderful to hear that, but they obviously saw something and they saw a habit, a trait, a pattern, some work ethic. What did they see?
I think my work ethic at a young age, like I wasn't getting all A's in school, but I'd get like B minuses and C's and whatever. But I would come home after school every single day and I would use the production that my dad would get me at Christmas time. I'd use my computer and I would be in GarageBand to Logic and I would write a song after school every day and I'd play it for them by dinner time. So in like 4 hours, I would write and produce a whole song and be like, check this out. And it was me like loving what I'm doing. It didn't feel like work. But it was also me showing my parents, like, thank you for buying this for me. And like, I'm going to make you proud with this someday. And my dad was like, this is a credit card where I'm buying all your stuff on. You can pay me back later when you're a successful songwriter. I'm like, I buy you a house. So there you go.
How does it feel now that you're a mom? Like, how does that feel?
Man.
Like, how are you taking parts of those gifts that your parents gave you to pass them on? And like
my parents were and are the best. Like my mom, she would be here today, but like
I heard she was gonna come. I was really hoping to meet her.
I know, but we're trying to be nice with COVID and like keep her safe. Pick one person and but she's my assistant full blown now. Like
what's that like?
It's the best. It's the greatest. Amazing. I'm lucky and I have a cool mom. A lot of people don't like their moms, but my mom is my best friend, my husband's best friend. They are the same person. I think I married my mom.
Wow.
And they like could finish each other's sentences. It's crazy.
I love that. He's, but he's a sweetheart.
He's so sweet.
Yeah, he's amazing.
She's my full assistant because when I had like assistants, I've only had two. One was my best friend and then the second one became my best friend.
Wow.
And it gets uncomfortable. It's like, I don't want to ask you to go get my groceries. But my mom's like, I'm getting groceries. You want me to get some for you? I'm like, yes, please. Like, she's doing it anyways, you know? My mom was always my assistant forever, but she's not. She's just a loving mom.
Yeah.
But it's the greatest. And I think having the supportive family is the only reason why I'm here. I mean, I know it is.
Yeah.
That's why I keep them close.
I've got to say, herbs have been a game changer in my wellness routine, all thanks to my Indian upbringing. My mom was the one who got me started on them way back when. I've seen how they can do wonders for both body and the mind. One of my favorites is ashwagandha, which is an adaptogenic herb that helps reduce stress. I usually take it in the morning with my breakfast, and it helps me stay cool, calm, and collected throughout the day. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has ashwagandha as well as herbs like St. John's wort and holy basil that provide mood and stress support. They have over 50 years of experience sourcing herbs from all over the world in the continents and climates where they grow best. Nature's Way rigorously tests every batch of herbs for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. Summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or take your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. After all, we all agree that food just tastes better when you're outside, right? Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. Life can be a wild ride, and sometimes our gut gets thrown off track. So that butterfly in your stomach, it's probably not from excitement. It's more likely from stress or certain food choices you had for breakfast. And Ritual can help you get things back on track. They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Every morning, I start my day with Synbiotic Plus. It's now an essential part of my daily routine. With its blend of prebiotics, postbiotics, and all that good stuff, I'm giving my gut the love it needs to tackle whatever comes its way throughout the day. There's no shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off. And how do you try and do that in your own way now? Like, how are you doing that for your kids apart from building them amazing water slides?
My kid sees his uncles every day because they live in my house. So he's surrounded by family all the time. And I think that's a part of his speech delay. Yeah. Is like, literally they're like, is he the only baby here? I'm like, It's all adults and we all give him whatever he wants immediately. Wow. They're like, so let's wait till he asks and then you may give him his snack. I'm like, yeah. Love it. So yeah, it's a matter of too much love. But I also want to give him 3 siblings. Like, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Immediately.
Yes. Yeah. So you're working on that.
Working on that. I think December, I'm going to try to get knocked up.
I love it.
Hope. Yeah.
I feel like for so many people, family is their contention point, right? Like that's where they experience toxicity. It's where they experience generational negative patterns and trauma. Whereas you have this beautiful setup and you're working on it. Obviously, it's not just like that. What do you think your parents or your family has done right over time to maintain that? When you just said that your kid's surrounded by uncles and like, that's so beautiful when it works.
Yeah.
And then there's so many people what is it that you think your parents did differently? What have you observed? I'm intrigued because I think that could be huge for people.
I'm breaking a lot of generational trauma and generational patterns, which I've learned with my therapist. Shout out my therapist. My new song, I said, my therapist told me to write you a letter. And she's like, you put what? I was like, yeah, I wrote about it. But as I've learned about like why I am who I am, it makes sense through my parents. Like no one's perfect in my family. We look great, but there is some darkness. There's some clouds. And I've just tried my very best to break all of that. And my mom is so good at adjusting and learning and seeing like, oh, we can change. We're not like this forever. Like my mom's side of the family, they never talk about what's bothering them. We call it, her last name was Jekanowski. So we call it the Jekanowski secrets. And they never bring up how they really feel. And I'm like, we're not going to Jekanowski secret this. We're going to talk right about it. Here's how you make me feel.
Yeah.
And my mother has changed significantly. The only category where she's still slacking is the self-talk, self-love.
Right.
Bad.
Yeah.
Which is where I got it from. And she knows. So she's like, I'm sorry. Like she won't take a picture. Like she'll say, the camera will break. I'm like, what? That's so aggressive. Like she's so mean on herself. And she's a part of that generation too that like refuses to get therapy. And my dad. I told them recently, I was like, you would both benefit very well if you had therapy. And they were like, I know what's wrong with me. I don't need to talk about it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh my God, you're so lost. Like, so I'm trying to slowly get them into therapy. And I've noticed my brothers now, they're close to their 30s. They have all woken up and seen like, oh, we have alcohol abuse in our family. I should be sober. And that's what my brother has done. And he's like an amazing human now. He was great before, but he was poisoned, you know?
Yes.
And then even my younger brother, like he he's just, they've grown up so much. And I think it's by watching me change my ways and change the patterns of the family and break those bad habits that we can, us millennials, man, we're doing some work. It's exhausting, but somebody's got to do it, because I will not have my kids have these bad patterns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They'll just have other ones now. Because
they'll make up their new stuff.
No, but that's, I love hearing that. And it's wonderful to understand that everyone is needing help from an individual if you want to change an area of your life. Like, I just feel like one of the things I'm certain about is that if I'm serious about something, I better be accountable to someone else in that area of my life, whether that's a therapist, a coach, a personal trainer, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I think if you're privileged enough and accessible enough to have that help in your life, it can make a huge difference. But knowing that your parents aren't doing it yet they are using the language.
My mom's. She's much better.
Yeah, she's using the language. She understands it.
My dad's 20 years older than my mom.
Wow.
So yeah, he's like 74 and she's 54. So she's like cool young hip kids. And my dad's like, this is how it always is. I'm like, oh no. But he's sweet and great.
I love that. In the beginning of your journey in music, today we know that a lot of your relationships inspire it. You just said that, you know, your therapist told you to write a letter. And so like you hear the toxic or poor relationships you've been in that have inspired music. What was different about what inspired you back then and what inspires you now? Like, do you ever think about that? Like, what inspired your songwriting then and now?
Well, back then I was a songwriter writing for other artists. So I was thinking like, what's not on the radio and what could be on the radio. But when I wrote All About That Bass, it was like a joke. Like, it was like, I was like, no one's gonna cut this. We've wasted a day of work and we'll just write a therapy song for us. Like, because the co-writer was like a man and it was the first time meeting him. So it's kind of like a blind date and you're like, where'd you grow up? How are, and we both were like, we were chubby kids and we had to learn how to love ourselves. And I was like, how funny would it be? That's like, I ain't no size two, but I can't shake it. And I'm like, I'm not a confident dancer that dances in front of everyone, but imagine if I was.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I'll sing the demo, who cares? And it was like a raw demo with no autotune and nothing. But the lyrics hit so many people that they're like, this is going to be huge. Who's singing it? We'll just let her do it. So it was really from like a weird, raw place. Like, I wasn't chasing radio. I wasn't. And I fell into that before when you were talking about competition. I didn't know about charts and all that stuff. When they're like, you're number one. I was like, fantastic. Like, what is that? Like, number one everywhere. They're like, everywhere. I was like, well, that was easy. So then anytime I did another song, I was like, it's not number one everywhere. What do you mean? Like, and then I was like, well, maybe I'm not doing what's on the radio. And then I caught myself chasing radio and just falling on my face. So with this new album, Taking It Back, I was like, I'm going to go back to when I did doo-wop and just didn't care about any charts and anything and just do me.
Yeah.
And you'll hear that come out. And the first song they put out was a emo toxic relationship song. I was like, oh, okay. Coming out passionate.
And so it sounds like it's always been a raw emotion that's gone out. And now you're taking it back and you're going back to that and you're really owning that. Like with this new album, would you say that we're hearing you through the healing process? Are we hearing you healed? Are we hearing you?
I think you're hearing a healed, mature mother who is just ruthlessly honest, you know? Like one song, Don't I Make It Look Easy, that I teased today on my Instagram, is like talking about, don't I make this look easy? Like, everything's perfect. Because everyone who interviews me is like, you are so fun and you have the best family and the best life. And I'm like, I cry so much. You just don't know it because I don't film myself and post it, you know? Mm. So I say in the first verse, like, I posted a picture. I read all the comments. I hearted the good ones. And if I'm being honest, I probably spent an hour on it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and it's just like a fun way of being ruthlessly honest. Ruthlessly. Yeah. That's not a word, but brutally honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? What you just said of like, there's a lot of people who will say, oh, well, if we're not taking pictures of ourselves crying and our videos of ourselves crying and posting it, we're only posting the highlight reel. Like, we hear this all the time.
Yeah.
What's your personal take on what showing up authentically means to you?
I just noticed when I do talk about my fun, private, personal stuff, like my bathrooms goes viral. People love it. People are like, "What? She's goofy." I'm like, "Mm-hmm." Yeah. And it's always a good reaction, which feels great.
Yeah.
Like I use that as my therapy of like, "Oh, the world likes me for just who I am." So yeah. I'm just going to do that. And the more I did that, like literally the more popular I got or the more people wanted to talk to me. The more I just like talk, that's why I did the podcast, because we talk about private stuff that I'm like, normalize it. Like I have hard poops, you know, like, and it makes, I think it's more relatable and people are like, I have that problem too.
Yeah.
That's, and the first place I saw that was my mental health. When I saw Carson Daly on the Today Show explain a full panic attack, my mom didn't understand what was happening to me. My best friend, she couldn't understand. She couldn't help me when I said, I need to go to the emergency room. Because I can't breathe. And she was like, just come here. I'll rub your head. I'm like, you don't get me right now. I sent her that article and she was sobbing and was like, I finally get it. Because I couldn't put it into words. And when Carson did it, I was like, you don't know what you did for my whole family.
Like, have you ever told him that?
Oh, yeah. Every time I'm at the Today Show, I'm like, Carson, save my life. He saved my family relationship.
Yeah.
Because I resented them for that. I was like, how do you not understand what I'm going through? You're my mother. Like, you're my favorite human being on this earth. Like, and now she still cries about it. She's like, I didn't know what you were going through. And then she'll look back at her life and go, oh, I had a panic attack that day. I thought I was just having a meltdown, but my heart was stopping that day. Like, I thought I was going to die. And I was like, yeah, we're riddled with anxiety and you guys weren't allowed to talk about it, but we are.
Yeah.
So here we are. Help. I'm like the biggest fan of screaming for help.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, something's wrong. Somebody help me.
What was your worst experience?
With panic
that you remember so strongly, where you didn't feel anyone was there to help and you were screaming out for it.
I was in New York City. My first like big real panic attack was 4 a.m. It's one of those like, never forget. 4 a.m. I was in glam getting ready to announce the Grammy nominees for the year after I won. It's like a thing you do when you win, you go announce them. And it was going to be live with Gayle King, and my assistant, who is my bestie, still is. She was reading me my schedule for that week. And it was like, sing here, perform there, after all my vocal issues were happening. And I'm just like, if I do that, this will, my voice will die and none of you will make money. You know, like we're all going down. So I was reading this calendar and I was like, but how would I, if I go from there to, there's no way I'm going to make that. And then I started getting light. I get a little tingly every time I talk about it. Ah, you start dissociating, like you start leaving your body like a ghost and like breathing. You start thinking about it and full panic comes in. And I started crying because I was like, I think I'm dying. And I was like, what's going on? And I just had to scream, cry and breathe. And my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, and my assistant looked at me and said, this is a panic attack. And I almost wish they never said that, because I was like, what? This is what that is? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what people were saying, like how they felt. You don't know until it's happening. And then when it ended, they were telling me, what's this? I was like, a lamp. A TV, a rug, and that like snaps you back into your body. And once I calmed down, they were like, I was like, can that happen whenever? And they were like, wish they didn't say that either.
Yeah.
Screwed me for the rest of the day because I was exhausted and I went on live TV and I haven't watched that clip since. But I remember I blacked out on the TV and was just on autopilot. And I was like, don't pass out. Don't pass out. Don't die. Like, don't have a freak out live on TV with Gayle King. And as soon as they were like, done, I sat down on a chair and I lost it. And all the people on the Gayle King show saw me and they looked at me like I was a crazy person. And they're like, is she okay? And my team looked at me and they're like, we need to stop. I was supposed to go do like 8 more interviews, a whole day of work. And they just said, stop. I went back to the hotel room. And I literally would run to the bathroom thinking I would have diarrhea. I was like, no, guys, it's cool. I just have the flu. And they were like, mm-mm. And I would explain it to people like it was like the movies, like when a demon takes over my body and I had no control anymore. And when a doctor tells you it's your own brain, you're like, well, then I'm going to be in a psych ward like this every day because I can't control that. I don't know how to. And then also I overdosed on edibles, which like you can't really do, but I did it. I was self-medicating myself with 5 milligrams of weed with edibles at night. And it really helped in the beginning and it would help me sleep. And one day I ran out of the specific edibles that I took and I ate like a lollipop that was 25 milligrams. Then I was so high that I forgot I ate that and I ate another one. And I usually take 5, right? I was up to 50.
in 1 day?
50 milligrams in 1 day. I was doing a puzzle and I was like, I'm not breathing. Like I tell people my soul left my body. I said bye-bye. And I was dry heaving all night. And that is very similar to what you feel in a panic attack. So going to those places twice, my brain was like, we've been there and we could take you there wherever, whenever we want.
Wow.
And so I was really unbalanced. My chemicals were off for a long time, months, trying to figure out, like, some days would be horrific, couldn't get up. I was madly in love. My career was great. I would tell doctors, like, I'm not depressed. I didn't feel depressed. I just sometimes, sometimes I'll just feel like I have a migraine for the rest of the day. I'd have ice packs on my head. I'd have my mom check my temperature. I was like, no, I just have a flu again. This is crazy. And then I finally went to a psychiatrist and he explained to me, your chemicals are like this. And all day long, your body is saying, fire alarm, fire alarm, fight or flight, run. And I was like, mm-hmm. Like, I was sitting with him and my back felt like it was on fire. I was like, see, it's crazy. It's happening right now. Feel it. I think it's really hot. He was like, no, your chemicals are so messed up that your body doesn't know where you're supposed to be. Your adrenals are on fire. Mm. So I went on my first ever antidepressants. And I used to get complimented like, wow, you're the only pop star not on antidepressants. And I used to be like, well, look at me.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, that's messed up that they said that to me.
Yeah.
And like, it made me judge people and it was horrible. And now when I was finally on the medication, I'm on like the lowest dose. And after a month or two, I was like, it's quiet. Like, everything stopped and it was amazing. And I like would talk to my psychiatrist of like, I only had one panic attack this month and it slowly went down. And it's been like 5 years now and I haven't had a terrible one since. I'll have nights if I'm overexhausted or I'll say my body's trying to trick me right now and trying to pretend I'm in a panic attack. And I know, what you doing? You can't mess with me right now. And my husband knows too. He knows the drill. Like, it saved my life. Mm. And I don't know what I would do without those pills. And I'm sorry I'm blabbing, but I have to say this too.
This is incredible. Please carry on.
When I was pregnant and I told people I want to get pregnant. So my doctor, they were saying this pill is safe that you're on, but this low dose of Ativan is not safe. Get off of that. So I did get off of that. And when I walked into my doctor appointment pregnant, like day one pregnant, I brought my medicine, was like, this saved my life. And he was like, oh, you could throw those candies away. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't know what to say. I was so scared. And I was like, it was COVID time. So I couldn't, I hadn't had my husband. I was like, what? And I was in shock. And I stayed with that doctor for like weeks and just got worse. And I cried to everyone of like, he just wants me to throw him away, but they saved my life. And my other doctor said, it's totally safe to be on these. So I don't know what to do. And I eventually changed doctors. And I had a woman doctor and she was like, that's insane that he said that to you. These are perfectly safe to be on. You're fine. And a happy mom is a happy baby. And I've been trying to tell every pregnant mom or anyone who's going to have a baby and on antidepressants, like, you can safely stay on them and nothing bad will happen to your baby. And I never had any postpartum. I didn't have any depression while pregnant. And my pregnancy was obnoxious. I had gestational diabetes, but we did it. We crushed it with a good diet. Diet while pregnant. And I was like, what?
So no cravings.
Yeah. But like, it's still like the stigma's in some of the doctors. And it's like, and my baby came out C-section because he was sideways. And my baby was in the NICU for 5 days. And all those nurses said, were you on antidepressants? And I just got sawed open. I'm on drugs, like trying to heal. I feel horrible. I don't get to see my prize that I went through all that for. And I'm in there trying to look at him in the NICU tank. And they're like, well, it's because you're on antidepressants. That's why he won't wake up. I'm like, what? And I asked all my doctors and they're all like, dude, there's no science that backs that. They're just pointing so they don't get sued. They're just saying, well, it's because you're on antidepressants and that's why. And it was the most discouraging thing. And I'm writing a book about it because it messed me up. And I still talk to my doctor, my psychiatrist recently, because I'm trying to get lower on my antidepressants in case I want another baby, even though there's no science that backs that can hurt that baby.
And then what happened after that?
My doctor's like, I got the charts later because Dr. Amon's like, what? Like, show me how they proved that.
Yeah.
And all the chart said was, like, he's sleepy. He's not waking up. He wakes up on his own time. But it was a C-section. That's just traumatic for a baby to come out. Yeah. Anything can happen. And it wrote, mom, 27, on antidepressants. That was it. And I was like, you know, it's the worst thing you could tell a person who just had a C-section. It was like, it's your fault that this kid's not awake.
Wow.
But I can't wait to have three more kids. But yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. And you weren't blabbing at all. It was actually really...
Blah, 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 blah.
No, not at all. Honestly, it was so... Thank you for taking us there, because I think, you know, it's very easy to gloss over some of the detail, but actually to hear the details, what allows us to really empathize in the best way possible, but also just to recognize how much stigma there is. Even hearing the statement where you were saying that, oh, you're the only music artist that's not on these.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, these are going to cause you to have an unhealthy baby. And no one in my family is on them.
They should be.
Yeah.
They could be. I have like plenty of people in my family that I'm like, oh, bipolar, undiagnosed, like for facts. And like sometimes they know it and they use booze to help it. And I'm like, there's better ways. I take my pill and a half at night every night and I feel great. And I don't have to chug a bottle of booze or eat edibles. Like there's a way that, a safer way that you could do this. So yeah, those pills help me. But my whole family, that they come from a place that's like, you need medicine.
Yeah.
To make you feel better. I'm like, And the best is when like a doctor said to me, well, you have asthma, right? And I was like, He's like, you have an inhaler. I was like, He's like, why can't you have medicine for your brain?
Totally.
Period.
What do you think it was for you that drew you in that direction of wanting to change your habits? Because like we see with so many musicians, with so many artists as well, it's so easy to go down the other road. And like you're saying, it's not about looking down on those people. It's just they didn't have a family, but
your support,
they didn't have the support. But what was it for you? Because obviously, like you're saying, that the majority of a family may not really understand why you need medicine, but you met a psychiatrist, you've been very proactive here.
Yeah.
What made you so convinced that you had to make this change and that you wanted to find this way out? Because it's so easy and natural for you to turn towards alcohol. Herbs hold a special place in my wellness journey, a tradition deeply rooted in my Indian heritage. Introduced to me by my mom, their healing properties have been part of my life since I was born. Growing up, I witnessed firsthand the remarkable effects of herbs on both physical and mental well-being. Among the herbs I take are ashwagandha for its adaptogenic properties, slippery elm bark for gastrointestinal health. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has these herbs and hundreds more that help support everything from healthy digestion to sleep to stress. They have over 50 years of experience with sourcing herbs from all over the world in the climates where they grow best. Every batch of herbs is rigorously tested for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. Nature's Way believes nature is the ultimate problem solver and is dedicated to bringing the power of plants to help people live healthier lives. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for our 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. Summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or take your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. After all, we all agree that food just tastes better when you're outside, right? Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
I was for sure spooked, and I knew something was wrong. Like, I knew my chemicals were off, but I didn't know my chemicals are off. I was like, my body's broken. My brain is broken, and I need help. And I was scared. Yeah. I was scared. I saw me in a psych ward forever for the rest of my life. And I was like, well, I don't want that. Yeah. I want children. I want a family. I want a career. I want to keep going. Like, finally, all my dreams came true and this is happening. No way. I'm going to fight this. So I wanted to fight it. But also, what really, really helped me, which is another reason why I talk about all my stuff in case it helps someone, is people like Carson, but also my older brother, Ryan. He used booze and drugs for his anxiety. And he's had huge panic attacks that he never told us about. Like, he lived in our house, and in his room, he told me, oh my God, I was pretty sure I was having a heart attack, thinking it was the drugs, but it would be like a hangover. Wow. Convinced, and he would call it scary Sundays. And I was like, this whole time you just have crazy panic disorder, but you've been like smothering yourself with booze and drugs, flying through it. He's like, yeah, stuff it down, fly, eat some drugs, you'll be fine. Like, drink your medicine. That's what he would say. I'm going to drink my medicine. I'm going to go to bed. Like, he has sleep paralysis. He has the most, his brain's way worse than mine was. So when I would have my panic attacks, I would go to everyone in the house. He lives in my house. And I'd be like, something's wrong. And he'd go, I've been there. I know what you're feeling. Go to the emergency room. Ask for the lowest dose of medicine that you can get. Do not let them give you Xanax. And then come home and you're going to be fine. And having him, like, my older soldier brother that could get through anything, look at me and be like, I've done this, you're okay, instead of my mom being like, what are you talking about, you don't need a hospital, he'd be like, go to the hospital, they'll tell you you're fine, they'll give you oxygen, you'll come home, you'll be great. And having that, like, acceptance but also not be alone feeling was like, he saved me.
Wow.
And that's why I do this podcast with him, because he's now trying to be sober. And in our first episodes of the podcast, he, like, you can see him freaking out. And he's like, I don't get to have my medicine. And he did it cold turkey. He didn't go to any AA and nothing. No therapy, no help. He did it by himself, which is so dangerous. Don't ever do that.
Yeah, very rare.
Now we're hearing, like, he could have had a heart attack in his sleep. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's, I tell him, I'm like, you're on extra time, you're on borrowed time, my guy. But he's my hero.
Very looking forward to meeting him now.
You're going to love him.
Even more so.
You are going to love him.
Even more so. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What an incredible story. And to have you both go through that.
And we've had, like, amazing guests, like Dr. Drew on our podcast. And he loves, like, he's so funny. He loves celebrity rehab. So he loved Dr. Drew. So when I've been like, Ryan, you got to go to therapy. You have demons in here. Like, let's go treat them. That's trauma. He was like, no, you're obnoxious. I'll never do therapy. Dr. Drew came on our podcast and was like, brains heal brains.
Yeah.
You need another brain to heal you.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're absolutely right. Went to trauma therapy that week. I was like, whatever you tell him, he'll be like, yes, sir, I will do that. Like,
so you're going to have to write me a little list.
Yeah. Tell him.
But it is true. We all need to hear it from different voices, different faces, different brains.
Like, can't be his little sister. Like, go to therapy. No.
But now you're doing that for everyone who's listening and watching us. Like, I can't imagine everyone who just heard what you just shared and everyone who's watching this, it's like, there is no one who could have heard that and not be transformed. Like, genuinely,
I hope so, man. Because like, what Carson did for me is what I'm just trying to do for anyone out there.
It's beautiful.
Because there's still parents out there that are like mine, that are uneducated and don't know. And they're raising babies like me who didn't know and had that stigma forever.
Yeah.
And I look at my family and I'm like, oh man, like, my grandparents would really needed this. You know, like, there was real crazy trauma back then in my family.
Yeah.
And that just goes down the line.
Yeah. And I feel you only saw it on the public figures. So I just watched the Elvis movie that just came out. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Bohemian Rhapsody about Freddie Mercury a few years ago that came out. And you start studying the stories of all these incredible icons and artists. And you see alcohol and you see drugs, yep. and, you know, and you see that go to a bitter end, you know, yep. and it's painful when your heroes and your yeah. inspirations go that way. But now when you see them go the other way,
isn't it so cool though, that now it's like the rock stars that were like our heroes, but they died of an overdose. We're like, ugh, we can't do that nowadays. Like, health is in right now.
I hope so. Sick. We want to make it more in.
I want to make yeah. it more in. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Even body types, though. It's like, yes. fitness is hot. Yeah. I'm like, I want to work out and be hot, you yeah. know? Be fit and healthy, not like...
And strong. And,
yeah, I want to yeah. be strong. I want yeah. muscles. I see yeah. muscles on my thighs now, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hot. Like...
What do you think that got you to that place of your, and it's so interesting how so much of it is chemical. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, that I know so many people who get into a negative rhetoric in their head where it's like, I'm the worst. I'm spirals. This, I'm that. And it spirals. And they think there's something wrong, like mentally or psychologically, and there are changes that are needed, but so much of it is chemical. Like I've spoken about this a few times. It sounds so average, but when I heard it from my doctors and my teams, it fascinated me. So I went recently, I was not probably in the last 12 months, 24 months, I was feeling more tired. And there's plenty of reasons for that. We were renting a house during COVID.
You work hard.
No. There's that. But we were renting a home during COVID. During the daytime, it was beautiful. And at nighttime, it didn't feel so beautiful. And it was like, there were animals in the floorboards and animals in the walls. And like, so you could hear scratching at night and like steps. And like, it was hard to sleep. And we just rented it during COVID to have a bit more space. And so I was dying to move out, and hence we got this place and moved. But during that time, I don't think my sleep quality was good. And I always sleep 8 hours a night. I don't negotiate with my sleep. I sleep 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Very important to me.
Same.
But at that time, even though I was in bed for that long, I wasn't getting good quality
sleep.
And so I was feeling exhausted. So I started checking in with my doctor, and they said, your vitamin D levels are at a 10. Healthy is 100 and average is 60. And my doctor said to me, and my nutritionist and my health team that I have,
yep.
they said, Jay, we don't know how you're not depressed.
Literally.
And I was like, I'm not depressed at all. I'm absolutely fine. And they're like, but your chemicals in your body show yep. complete. And I was like, that's fascinating to me that... Sure, because of my meditation and mindfulness, I was able to not be
depressed.
But you could be depressed just because you don't have enough vitamin D in your body. Like,
literally.
It can be as simple as that.
Well, I got a dietitian who transformed my life. She helped me healthily lose 60 pounds, which was like 1 pound a week of changing my lifestyle.
Wow.
But food is poison, you know, like bad foods. I just saw a TikTok where this guy was like, I had anger issues and I was mean and I was in high school. And even though I was like a smart kid, I remember I ate like the burger and the cafeteria food every day.
Yeah.
And no matter how smart I was like, I'm going to go fight today because I was angry. And when I started eating healthy, I was less wow. angry. Like,
yeah.
I have a cousin who has really anger issues, but I also know he eats fast food because it's like food's expensive and they can't go to Whole Foods like me all the time.
Totally.
And there's three kids. So mom's trying to feed all of them. But I know that food is just feeding his anger and his, you know, so it's super sad watching that, knowing like, oh my God, the rest of the world, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a challenge, right? It's how can we make food affordable, accessible,
yeah.
healthy, tasty?
My dietitian, she's like, don't even get me started on
the food industry.
Food in cafeterias though for kids, for children. It's like, how do you expect them to work all day and like... Eat have that. Energy.
Yeah, it's so...
Like, I would come... I remember now when I would come home from school, nap. Every day, bro. I'd nap and my mom would be like, it's dinner, wake up. I'm like, okay. Like, no wonder I was like chubby and depressed and sad. Like,
yeah, and it's hard again because it's all habits.
Yeah.
I was saying recently to someone, like, our biggest crisis is a crisis of habits. Like,
yeah.
Our life is defined by habits.
Yeah.
And we've just adopted a ton of bad habits mentally, physically, yep. emotionally. And now we keep repeating them.
That's what growing up is.
That's
is
it.
Breaking all these
habits.
My dietitian's like, you have to... And my therapist is like, you have to rewire your whole brain.
Yes.
Everything you knew... It's wrong. And
yes.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's
and even
so
my
unsettling.
My poor mom, like, she was even trying to help us. Like, we were that family, we're all chubby, and my mom was like, we're gonna do Weight Watcher snacks. But like back then, like it's still crap.
Yeah.
Like it's still like, what are you eating? And she tried to get all the low calorie orange juice. And we're like, it's the orange juice is the issue,
yes,
you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, it's got so much
but
sugar
they tried, they're uneducated. They didn't know. So
yeah, of course they didn't know.
My mom was just doing her very best. But when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I was eating poison. Like,
yeah,
it
I used
all
to eat four
sense.
Chocolate products a day. Like, I used to eat chocolate biscuit.
I used to eat Reese's Pieces every yeah. day, bro. What are
I
you talking
chocolate
about?
Biscuit, a chocolate bar, a chocolate yogurt, and a chocolate ice cream every single day.
Were you fat?
Yes. And it was
love
amazing.
It. That's why you're so nice.
It was amazing. It was like,
you know, Boys and Girls Club?
No.
It's like a place where kids can go after school.
Okay.
We had that on Nantucket, and we had our little snack thing we had. I had Cheez-Its, Reese's, Blue Powerade every day.
Oh my God.
Horrific.
Yeah.
After school, I go eat that and then play.
Yeah. And that's what, and it took me
active.
Ages. My wife had to powerfully train me out of my addiction to chocolate. And I know that sounds so like.
No, I need to do that to Daryl.
I was literally addicted to sugar.
He's addicted to sugar.
I was addicted
it's
to sugar.
So bad.
And my wife had to completely train me out of it. And it's been an amazing journey for me because it sounds like, oh, it's sugar. Who cares? It's like sugar's
no,
really
it
can
is
get really bad.
Crack.
Like, yeah. It's like sugar's like the one
it's
that
poison.
Everyone gets away with.
Yeah.
Like people, like when someone gets sober from alcohol or drugs, we're like.
My brother, he's like, I love sugar.
Yeah.
I'm like, careful, my guy.
I literally was dependent on sugar for so many years. And it took ages to get off of it. And even now I found, I'm now at the other side, which is really beautiful, where now even when my mind still tricks me into wanting really unhealthy food, when I have it, I actually don't enjoy it.
Oh,
much
and
anymore.
You get sick.
Yes, yeah. It
I notice anytime
anymore.
I cheat now, I get ill, and I'm like when you drink a bunch of booze and you're like, never again. It's like that, and I'm like, oh, this is poison. I forgot. Like,
and you have to remember that never again.
Yeah.
Tell me about you're in such a and you've spoken about in this interview already. You're in a healthy relationship now. You know, and you have been for a long period of time, obviously, with Daryl.
With food and my man.
I was talking about with
love.
With love. Yeah.
I won. I got lucky.
And I'm so grateful I got to meet Daryl today as well, because it's always fun. Like, and yeah, he's amazing. How did you know that that was how you were meant to be treated? Because I think so many people get into a pattern of accepting a certain level of treatment.
Yeah.
How did you know?
I figured, like, because of like relationships I've seen in my family, I'm like, she'll deal with it and I'll just train him to be better. And when I met Daryl, he still to this day like opens every door, drives me wherever I need to go because he knows I'm scared to drive, takes care of me. No one's ever taken care of me like that except my parents. And he says, I'll take care of you to this day. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I want to only be with you for the rest of my life. I want to be 105 and die next to you while holding your hand. And it's taught me how to care for someone and take and love them like that. But yeah, it was like the chivalry, whatever it's called. It was the kindness and the simple things of opening doors and making sure I was okay. And he came on tour day 11. After day 6, when we said, I love you, day 11, I was like, I have to do a tour now. Would you like to come with me? And he was like, well, I got nothing else to do. So, and he stayed on that bus and did the whole tour with me. And after every show, he caught me off stage. He would carry me to the little golf cart and he would help me take my wig off and he'd massage my feet. Like month one meeting this person. And I was like, you're going to take care of me forever.
Wow.
And he went through me when I had vocal surgery, like 4 months of dating, I had vocal surgery. I couldn't talk. Couldn't say I love you back. I was mute for months and he still loved me. The way he treated me through my pregnancy was insane. Just like, and it makes me like, as much as I tell the world, like, hey, if you have mental health, ask for help. I also want to say, hey, don't settle, you know, because there's a guy out there that will rub your nasty feet after a 2-hour show and will worship the ground you walk on. They exist. And I know it's hard in LA to find them, but I found them. And if I can find them, you can find them, you know? Like, they are real. And it's the people you want to procreate with. Like, he never saw himself as a father because his father left their family when he was 1 year old.
Wow.
So he was like, I'm not going to be a dad. I don't know what a dad is. He saw me and was like, I want babies with you. Like, I want to procreate. I want to make more of us. And I was like, we should make more of us.
It's one
like,
out
that's,
four.
I think that when they're like, you know, that whole thing is like, oh, I want forever and I want more of yous. I want to make more of yous.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's how I figured it out.
Where did you get to a point where it was like, it sounds like you were in your early years using your body as a way of validation and like all of when or where are you now at in terms of validating yourself? Like, where are you looking for your validation from now? Where is it coming from? At this point in time.
I'm still super hard on my body. Like, I've lost all this weight and I still feel exactly the same. I'm still like, ah, oh, I can't wear shorts or I can't wear sleeveless things. And my husband catches me and is like, hey, you're being so mean to yourself. Look how gorgeous you are. And it's a thing you have to work on. I have to reprogram my brain to be like, no, I look good today. And the only thing that I saw actually make a difference, which I truthfully don't do, is because I got to do it more because it's so hard. My therapist told me, stand in the mirror naked for 5 minutes, put a timer on and just look at yourself. Day one, I was literally shaking because I was like, mm-mm. Like, it was already tough for me to love my body. But after the C-section scar with all the stretch marks, my family's like smothered in stretch marks. Like, it's genetic. So I'm going to get it. Got it. So the stretch marks go up. The C-section goes across. Now I'm looking at myself like a lawnmower ran over me. Like, I've been hacked. And there's no fixing that. So I was like staring at that, like, oh, and all that trauma that comes with it. But after, and I was just looking at the clock, like, please be done. But day three, when I did it, I was like, you know what? Her thighs are cute. You know, I started complimenting her and I was like, oh, I see my brain changing already. And if I did it more, I'd probably be better at it. But like our bathroom, we have a giant mirror in it. So when I get naked every day, I see it. And I think that helps. My mom like avoids mirrors and avoids, yeah. She doesn't want to like have my father be anywhere near the shower when she's in it. I'm like, oh my God, I used to shower with Daryl. Like, what? Like, she's very hot. And I think that's what keeps her insecurities stuck there. Yeah. You know, you have to like literally get naked and start looking at yourself.
Yeah.
Because wow. Like, this is our shell, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
This is our body. This is it. This is what we got. So like, let's treat it well.
Yeah. And I think that's the idea that if we can't look in the mirror and say, I'm happy with what I see today.
Yeah.
It's really hard to think tomorrow you're going to wake up and say, I feel really happy with what I see tomorrow. In the sense of, even if you've changed, whether you lose weight or gain weight, whatever you're trying to do, if you're not happy with where you are now, it's never going to feel different on the other side.
It's like,
because that's just a repetitive pattern.
Yeah. When people are like, how are you so confident and love yourself? I'm like, ooh, I'm working on it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
I wrote a song called Working On It, which is why our podcast is that.
Yeah.
Because it's about when you get a compliment and you're like, ew. And someone's like, you look beautiful. You're like, shut up. Ew, I'm disgusting. It's like, whoa, I'm going to work on not doing that and go, thank you.
Yeah.
And like, try to believe what they're saying. Because they're not saying it. They're not lying. Yes. You know, like, what's the benefit of them being like?
When I was a monk, we got trained beautifully in how to receive compliments. It was like a big part
of our
training.
Isn't that the hardest thing ever?
Yeah. And it was, but it was taught to us so wonderfully. The first thing was always to receive well from the other person. So what you just said, like thanking the other person, because what you're doing is you're rewarding them for noticing something good.
Yeah.
So you get an opportunity to say, wow, like they're noticing something good. Whether it's in me or not, it doesn't matter for now. For now, it's just, we should really acknowledge someone who decided to compliment you versus criticize you. The second step was, now that you've done that, think about who gave you that quality. Think about how you learned it. Did you get it from your parents?
Oh.
Did you get it from your teachers? Who was it in your life that gave you that gift? And now you get to turn that compliment into gratitude and you get to thank that person. So internally, when you receive a thank you, not only do you get to receive it, you now get to thank someone else and pass that gratitude on. And it's just this beautiful process of compliments to gratitude, which we know are great for
the
brain.
It's all good, yeah.
And so it's all good. And so, yeah, I love that you brought that up. It's really special. I love it. Megan,
that's what we're working on.
This has been even more than I expected. Yes, it has. This has been.
Thank you.
I knew it was going to be fun, but it's like we've done this beautiful thing where like we've gone really deep and then you're just hilarious and then adorable and like then really deep and then hilarious. And so I'm like literally been playing with my emotions, but in the most beautiful way. We end every episode of On Purpose with a final five. So this is the rapid fire.
Oh, gosh.
So you have to answer in one word to one sentence maximum.
Oh, I'm so bad at that. Okay. Here
you
we
can
go.
Try.
I can do it.
We'll probably go off piste because you're so interesting that I'm going to be like, oh, tell me more. So, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll start. All right. Question number one. What is the number one thing you're working on in your relationship? And what's the number one thing Daryl's working on?
Understanding his feelings.
That sounds good.
The boy can feel. He's got a lot of feelings. And I'm like, Dr. Phil taught me perception is reality. So even though it seems like he's being irrational, because he is, I have to realize like, oh, he's in that moment right now and I have to take care of him as if that's real and then pull him out of it. And I always do.
I love that. And what's he trying to do for you?
That's like the toughest part for us, because I'm so, I'm sorry I'm using so many words.
You're not,
but I'm so Massachusetts, like, sack up, bro. Like, I'm raised by brothers. Like, why are you so emotional? Why are you crying? And he's like, you know, so he's trying to communicate better.
Yeah.
His feelings to me, and trying to, yeah, I guess. Ask him.
Yeah,
he'll
yeah.
tell you.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him.
It's that. It's yeah. the very, I'm cold and he's soft.
Yeah, I guess.
But it works. Man, it works.
Question number two. What is your daily routine for your anxiety today?
My husband, transcendental meditations every day. That's amazing. Not how I say it, but 20 minutes morning and night. I do that sometimes, especially when I need it. Today, I'm going to, oh, I have therapy today at 4 p.m. We love it. And I'm going to try to work out.
I love that. That's beautiful. That's nice and simple. Easy.
Right?
Yeah, easy. All right. Question number three. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Life will get better if you let it, from my father.
Nice. Question number four. What's the worst advice you've ever received?
I mean, this isn't the worst advice. I can't think of anything. But you know what we got a lot of when we were getting married and when we were having babies? We would ask older couples. Like, that was the worst thing to do. We were like, how do you have a marriage so long? And the men would say, son, surrender. Or just like, keep your head down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, don't do that. And then having babies, they'd be like, well, your life's over now. And now it's theirs. And I was like, that's not true. My life has just begun.
Yeah.
So we hated that advice.
Definitely. I'm glad you shared that. Yeah. It can be so.
It's literally opposite.
Yeah. It can be really detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that when I left the monastery and I decided to start doing what I do today. And I was my biggest fear internally was that I wouldn't be able to serve in the way I wanted to serve. And everyone's just like, oh, well, now you can't. You're going to get a real job. You're going to get married. Like, you're not going to be able to serve the world anymore. And I was just like, you know, now I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't accept that.
Yeah.
And same with when I got married, everyone's like, oh, you're going to have less time to do impact and work in the world. And I was like,
you're going to have a partner now to help you with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Literally.
No, I'm glad you raised that. All right. Fifth and final question. If you could create one law that everyone in the world had to follow, what would it be?
You cannot bully online.
Nice. I actually like that.
Really?
That's a great law. Yeah,
you can't
we've
have
never
a negative
had it.
Comment.
We've never had it before.
Imagine if it was all positive comments.
Oh yeah.
My Instagram's pretty positive.
Is it?
Like,
yeah, same.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
Same. Same.
Then I'm like, this is great. When they're like, do you read comments? I'm like, yeah, because they're nice sometimes. Like, I need that little confidence boost.
Everyone, Meghan Trainor, the new album is arriving October 21st, 2022. Very, very pumped to get to know you better, to deepen our relationship.
Let's
to
hang.
Deepen our friendship.
Let's meditate.
And just, yeah, genuinely so, so in awe of the journey you've been on, the steps you've taken and how you're passing that on to everyone else. It's really powerful. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thanks, man. Ditto.
Love it.
Ditto.
Thank you. Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.